Yes, our text this morning is Matthew 24, verses 1 to 22. Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25 is what Bible scholars call the Olivet Discourse. And Jesus spoke this discourse to his disciples privately on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives, by the way, is right opposite the Temple Mount where the Second Temple once stood. The Olivet Discourse grew out of some questions that the disciples asked when Jesus told them that the temple would one day be destroyed. Remember that Jesus had just denounced the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees, and he had left the temple and he was heading toward the Mount of Olives. In Matthew 24 verses 1 to 3 we read, Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" First, they wanted to know when. When? Now, this answer is not recorded in Matthew, but is given to us in Luke chapter 21, verses 20 to 24. "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." Now, there is similar language that is used in the same chapter, in Matthew chapter 24, in verses 16 to 21, and also in Mark chapter 13, verses 14 to 17. However, it is clear that in those references, in Matthew and Mark, both Matthew and Mark were referring to events in the middle of the tribulation, when the abomination of desolation would be set up in the Jewish temple and the Antichrist, the world ruler, would begin to persecute Israel. And you read of this in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, and that's a portion of the scripture that we'll come back to over and over again during this message. And also in Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 to 18. There Jesus warned the people to flee and go into hiding, for the great tribulation was about to fall. But Luke's account to that question that was asked to tell us when will these things be, Luke gives us the account, Luke 21 verses 20 to 24, which I just read to you. Luke's account does not refer to a distant event which will occur during the tribulation. Luke's account refers to the destruction of Jerusalem that we just read. The destruction of Jerusalem by Titus, the Roman general, and his army in AD 70. Just 40 years from that time when the disciples asked Jesus the question, "Tell us, when will these things be?" Luke tells us in Luke chapter 19, verses 41 to 44, "And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, 'Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they're hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." But this terrible event was in many respects a dress rehearsal for what will happen when Satan vents his anger on Israel and the believing Gentiles during the latter half of the tribulation, Revelation 12 verses 7 to 17. Please read that when you get back home. The Jewish historian Josephus, he claimed that nearly 1 million people, 1 million Jews, were killed by the Romans in AD 70 when Titus invaded Jerusalem and destroyed the city, and over 100,000 were taken captive when Titus captured the city. Then the second question that the disciples asked, and what will be the sign of your coming? Matthew 24 verse 3. They asked about the sign of Christ's return. And this is answered in Matthew 24 verses 29 to 44, which God willing we will study next time. In their final question, they asked about the sign of the end of the age. And of the end of the age, Matthew 24 verse 3. The Lord Jesus replied to this question in Matthew 24 verses 4 to 14. And we will be studying this text now. We must keep in mind that the entire atmosphere of the first part of the Olivet Discourse, the first part of the Olivet Discourse is Matthew 24 verses 4 to 44. The entire atmosphere here is Jewish. It is Jewish. One, we see Jesus talked about Judea, Matthew 24 verse 16. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Then Jesus speaks about the Sabbath, Matthew 24 verse 20. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath. Then Jesus spoke regarding the prophecies of Daniel concerning the Jewish people, Matthew 24 verse 15. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Now we must remember at this point, the full truth about the rapture of the church had not yet been revealed because it was still a mystery, and that would be revealed fully later. It would be revealed through the Apostle Paul, the mystery of the rapture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 51 to 53. Paul says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Also, please read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18 regarding the rapture. So, Matthew 24 verses 4 to 44 indicates that our Lord Jesus was discussing events that will take place on earth during the time of tribulation. Matthew 24 verse 8, all these are but the beginning of the birth pains. These birth pains are a symbol of the tribulation. Matthew 24 verse 21, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. Matthew 24 verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So the events recorded in Matthew 24 verses 4 to 44 are events that will take place during the time of tribulation. After the church has been suddenly taken out, raptured, taken out of the world, there will be a period of peace and safety, followed by a time of terrible suffering, unimaginable suffering, the wrath of God falling upon the earth. And this is what is called the tribulation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 1 to 4. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. Hallelujah. You see, that's a promise given to us. You are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. Now, many Bible scholars believe that this period of tribulation will last 7 years, with the latter half, which is the last 3.5 years, being the great tribulation. Now, when Jesus says, in this world you shall have tribulation, that this is not the tribulation that he's talking about. The tribulation that is spoken about here is the wrath of God falling upon the earth. And you and I are not destined to wrath. That's why we will be taken up. We will be raptured. And so the tribulation that Jesus is speaking about when he says, in this world you shall have tribulation, is persecution. And that, of course, is there all over the world even today, and also now in our country. So the last 3.5 years will be what is called the Great Tribulation. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, I said we come back to these verses again and again. Daniel 9, 27. And he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week, and for half of the week he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. Now we'll go into a little detail regarding that passage a little later, but remember for now that Daniel chapter 9 verse 27 is speaking about the tribulation. It is this period of tribulation that Jesus describes here in this first part of the Olivet Discourse. At the end of that period of tribulation, Jesus will return to the earth. Now this is not the rapture. This is the second part of the second coming, when Christ's feet touch the Mount of Olives. In the rapture, his feet don't touch the ground. But the second part of the second coming, which is when the tribulation ends, at that time his feet will touch the ground. At the end of that tribulation, Jesus will return to the earth and he will defeat his enemies and he will establish the promised kingdom. In Matthew 24 verses 4 to 44, Jesus explains 3 different periods in this time of tribulation. So that's very important for us to understand. And we'll go through in detail the first 2 periods. And God willing, next time we will move to the 3rd period of tribulation. Matthew 24 verses 4 to 44. 3 different periods in the time of tribulation. Number 1, the beginning of the tribulation in verses 4 to 14. Number 2, the middle of the tribulation in verses 15 to 22. And number 3, the end of the tribulation in verses 23 to 44. Let's begin with the beginning of the tribulation in Matthew 24 verses 4 to 14. And the events described here in verses 4 to 14 of Matthew 24 are what is called the beginning of birth pangs. Matthew 24 verse 8, and I read to you from the New Living Translation, Matthew 24 verse 8, but all this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come, with more to come. Now the image of a woman in travail, that is a picture of the tribulation period in the book of Isaiah chapter 13 verses 6 to 11.
Wait,
for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Because of this, all hands will go limp. Every heart will melt with fear. Terror will seize them. Pain and anguish will grip them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look aghast at each other, their faces aflame. See, the day of the Lord is coming, a cruel day, with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land desolate and destroy the sinners within it. The stars of heaven and their constellations will not show their light. The rising sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. I will punish the world for its evil, the wicked for their sins. I will put an end to the arrogance of the haughty and will humble the pride of the ruthless. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Now let's look at some of the significant events that will occur at the beginning of this period, at the beginning of this period of tribulation. Now we have seen glimpses of these things. We see glimpses of these things happening already in our day. But during the tribulation, all of this will happen in such dreadful, unimaginable proportions. Number 1, there is religious deception. Matthew 24 verses 4 to 5. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming, 'I am the Messiah,' and will deceive many." Now the Jews have often been led astray by false prophets and false messiahs. The rider on the white horse in Revelation chapter 6 verses 1 to 2 is the Antichrist. He's not the Christ. He's the Antichrist. He's that final world dictator who will lead the nations astray. Revelation chapter 6 verses 1 to 2. Now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. So the Antichrist, he will begin his career as a peacemaker, and he will sign a covenant with Israel to protect Israel from her enemies. Daniel chapter 9 verse 27. And he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. And for half of the week he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. The nation of Israel will welcome this man as a great benefactor. John chapter 5 verse 43. Remember, Jesus said this: "I have come in my Father's name and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him." Israel will receive the Antichrist, and he will come as a peacemaker. According to Daniel 9:27, 7 years, and he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. That is 7 years. 7 years are assigned, that is 1 week, assigned to Israel in God's prophetic calendar. And this begins with Israel signing an agreement with the world dictator, the Antichrist, and it ends with the return of Christ with the return of Christ to the earth to judge evil, and Christ will establish his millennial reign on earth. It is this period that is described in Revelation chapter 6, right up to chapter 19. God willing, I've been praying about this, we will begin a study on Revelation. John's description is in three parts. In Revelation, John's description is in three parts. Number one, the first 3.5 years of tribulation. That is from chapter 6 of Revelation to chapter 9. And then the events at the middle of the tribulation in Revelation chapter 10 to chapter 14. And then the last 3.5 years of the tribulation in chapter 15 to chapter 19. Now coming back to what will happen at the beginning of the tribulation. Remember, first, religious deception. Number two, wars. Matthew 24 verse 6. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Now please note that wars are not a sign of the end. There have always been wars in the world, and there is, of course, definitely an increase in frequency of wars. And we've seen right in front of our eyes the war in Afghanistan, the war that's going on right now in Ukraine, and the kind of war, the rumors of wars that are going on in this world. And so there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be an increase in frequency of this until the very end. Wars of themselves do not announce the end of the age or the coming of the Lord. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Number three, famines. Matthew 24 verse 7, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. War and famine usually go together. Revelation chapter 6 verse 6 suggests terribly high prices for staple foods during the tribulation. Revelation 6 verse 6. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and 3/4 of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and wine. So very high prices. A denarius was a day's wages. Number four, death. Matthew 24 verses 7 to 8, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Earthquakes help to create famines, and both earthquakes and famines help to cause epidemics that take many lives. Then there are pestilences, and we have seen a glimpse of that during the pandemic. But remember, COVID will be nothing compared to what will actually happen during the tribulation. It will be nothing compared to what will actually happen during the tribulation. Number five, martyrs. Matthew 24 verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now Christians have always been hated by the world, but here we have an acceleration of persecutions and murders. All nations will be involved. Now this was certainly not true in the history of the early church, and it's not yet what it is going to be. So this will just escalate. There will be an acceleration of persecutions and murders. Number 6, there will be worldwide chaos. Matthew 24 verses 10 to 13. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Those who once were true to each other will betray each other. And this suggests that marriages, homes, nations will be torn asunder because of lack of loyalty. You know, there's something that is on the increase today in marriage is lack of commitment. People get married without commitment to each other. And so they don't stay committed to each other. So there's lack of loyalty. And in this present age, all kinds of evil. You see gay marriages, all kinds of things taking place. So there's chaos in society, worldwide chaos. Homes and nations will be torn asunder because of lack of loyalty. Lawlessness will abound. It says in verse 12, and because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. And law enforcement agencies will not be able to keep the peace. They themselves are corrupt. And so there won't be peace. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Matthew 24 verse 13. Matthew 24 verse 13 has nothing to do with personal salvation in this present age of grace. The end mentioned here does not mean the end of this life. It refers to the end of the age. Remember, the disciples asked about the sign of the end of the age. And of the end of the age, Matthew 24 verse 3. Derek, can I have a little bit of hot water? Thank you. Matthew 24 verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and the end will come. Those believers on earth during this terrible period of tribulation who endure in their faith will be saved when the Lord comes at the end and delivers them. There will be worldwide preaching. Worldwide preaching. Thank you so much. Wow, nothing like warm water. Worldwide preaching. Matthew 24 verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Now, if you look at the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 7 verses 1 to 8, there we learn that God will choose and he will seal 144,000 Jewish evangelists during the tribulation. And what will they do? They will carry the kingdom message to the ends of the earth. Revelation chapter 7 verse 4. And I heard the number of the seal. 144,000. Sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. These are people who belong to the nation of Israel. These are Jews who believe in Jesus. Alright, during the time of tribulation, God will raise them up. And the gospel will still be preached by these 144,000 Jewish evangelists. And if you read Revelation chapter 7, you will find from every tribe and nation, from every nook and corner of the earth, you will find people coming to know Christ. So there will be a great revival because of the ministry of these 144,000 Jewish evangelists after the church is raptured. And there will be great awakening in the nations, and multitudes will be saved during that time. So please read Revelation chapter 7. For more details. Now this verse in Matthew 24 verse 14 does not teach that the gospel of God's grace must be spread to every nation today before Jesus can return for his church. It is the Lord's return at the end of the age that is in view here in Matthew 24 verse 14. Neither does this minimize the absolute necessity and the command that we must obey to proclaim the glorious gospel. and that the church is called to do in this world today. And we cannot in any way minimize that responsibility, that command that God has placed on us. Go into all the world and proclaim the good news. Number two, we come now to the middle of the tribulation, Matthew 24 verses 15 to 22. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And we'll come to who the elect is a little later. The midpoint of the tribulation period is most important. At that time, an event will take place that was prophesied centuries ago by Daniel. Daniel 9 verses 24 to 27. 70 weeks are determined for your people. He's speaking to the Jewish nation through Daniel. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now you see here the cross. To bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The streets shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. That's the cross. But not for himself. He came to save you and me. He came to save the world. And the people of the prince who is to come, and that's the Antichrist, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. That's the tribulation. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Now, please notice that this prophecy came through the angel Gabriel to Daniel. And this prophecy concerns only the Jews and the city of Jerusalem. For your people and for your holy city. Daniel 9:24. To apply it to the church or to any other people or place is to misinterpret God's word. Now, before we get to this prophecy, I just want you to go into Nehemiah for a minute now. Before we get to this prophecy, because that's very important. Nehemiah was a lay person with a job of being the cupbearer. He was the cupbearer of the king Artaxerxes. And Nehemiah had great responsibilities and privileges. And during the time of Nehemiah, the Persian Empire had reached its pinnacle of expansion. The Persian Empire engulfed the entire Near East. And in 539 BC, the Persians, under the rule of Cyrus the Great, defeated the Babylonians and had absorbed the lands of Israel and Judah. Remember, Israel was in captivity under Babylon for 70 years. Now here comes Cyrus and he defeats the Babylonians and he absorbs the land of Israel and Judah. And Israel and Judah were known as lands beyond the river. If you have an ESV study Bible, I took this map from the Bible. Could you just show that map? Yes. You see that there? Beyond the river. And on the other side, and you see that's the Babylonian Empire, which became the Persian Empire at the time of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah starts from Susa and he comes down to Jerusalem. That's his journey. So beyond the river, that's how Israel and Judah were known, lands beyond the river. The river is Euphrates. And the Jews were in Babylon at this time. Esther became the stepmother of the present Persian king Artaxerxes. And Artaxerxes reigned during the time of Nehemiah. Esther was queen to Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus is the Hebrew transliteration of the Persian name Shayasha. Shayasha. And the Greek name is Xerxes. And he ruled Persia from 486 to 464 BC. Now, when did Esther become queen? Esther became queen after Queen Vashti was removed. Vashti gave birth in 483 BC to the third son of Ahasuerus, who was named Artaxerxes. And Artaxerxes was reigning when Nehemiah was in Persia. Esther became his stepmother. Now, most likely Nehemiah had got his job as cupbearer because Esther would have influenced the present king Artaxerxes and the queen to be favorable to the Jews. Now, the prophecy of Daniel involves 70 weeks, and the Hebrew word week means a week of years. So 7 years, all right? 77s would be equal to 490. But this period of 490 years is broken up in three parts. And before we come to that, it is also very important to note that Daniel's prophetic 70 weeks began with the decree to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And that decree was issued by Artaxerxes. And that was issued, that decree was issued in 445 BC. Daniel chapter 9 verse 24 and 25, read once again, I'm reading from the King James Version now. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troubled times. Now during 7 weeks, that is 49 years, the city of Jerusalem would be rebuilt in troubled times and the worship reestablished. And this is after the return from captivity. And these are weeks of years. 1 week, 7 years. So 7 weeks, 49 years. And this is the time of the closing of Nehemiah's career in rebuilding of the street and wall of Jerusalem. Number two, after 62 weeks, 434 years, 62 into 7, Messiah would come to Jerusalem and die for the sins of the world. The 62 weeks, 62 weeks, is an additional 434 more years. So a total of 483. That is 49 plus 434, which is 483. 62 weeks, remember, Daniel 9:25. The Messiah, the Prince shall be, and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So 62 weeks, 62 weeks is an additional 434 more years. So a total of 483, so 49 plus 434, 483 years to the first advent of the Messiah, the first coming of Christ. And this was fulfilled in the triumphal entry, in the triumphal entry of the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, into Jerusalem. And interestingly, and it's so important here to note this, this date of entry of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, was on Sunday, 9th of Nisan. Nisan falls, the Hebrew month of Nisan falls during March, April for us. And this date of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ entering Jerusalem on Sunday, the 9th of Nisan, AD 30, is exactly 483 years after the decree of Artaxerxes mentioned in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 25. And this is the day that Christians celebrate as Palm Sunday. Now, after these 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off. And this refers to his death in Daniel chapter 9 verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That's the destruction of Jerusalem. And the end therefore shall be with a flood. And the end therefore shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now the Roman people from whom the Antichrist will ultimately come will destroy the city of Jerusalem and its temple. And that took place in AD 70 under Titus the Roman Emperor. Now, between the 69th and the 70th week is the present church age, which will climax in the rapture of the church. And that's hidden. That's a parenthesis. We'll come to that a little later. Then we read of the last 7 years of the 70th week of the time of the Antichrist in Daniel 9:27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured out, shall be poured upon the desolate. Number three, the prince, the Antichrist, will make an agreement with the Jews, as I said earlier, for 1 week, 7 years, to protect them from their enemies. And this is where we account for the remaining week of 7 years. Where does it fit in? For at some future date, the prince shall come, the Antichrist. He will make a covenant with the Jews for 7 years. And he will make a way for them to rebuild the temple. Remember, he comes as a peacemaker. And he will make a way for them to rebuild the temple. This is where the missing week fits in. The Antichrist will agree to protect Israel from their enemies, and he will permit them to rebuild their temple, and sacrifices will be made in the temple. I'll come to that a little later. Daniel 9 verse 27 speaks about the sacrificial system. The Antichrist, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. That means sacrifices would be taking place. And that can happen only when the Jews have a temple. Right now they don't have a temple. But they are preparing. They're already ready. They're already ready. At any time they can build a temple. By the way, all the preparations have already been made for this temple to be rebuilt. There's a video that I would like you to see. And the temple, this is about the Temple Institute in Jerusalem. By the way, in 1996, when we started the church here, we had a camp, in the IFP guest house. When we had that camp, we got this news about the fact that the Temple Institute had begun. This was 1996. This is more than two decades have gone by. All right. And now everything is complete. Everything is come. Let's just have that video. This is a short video, 2 minutes, but please watch it. So all that the Jews are waiting for is permission, government permission to rebuild the temple. And by the way, there is also a possibility of being able to rebuild the temple without having to destroy the mosque, the Dome of the Tower, which is right now the place where the original temple was. So the Antichrist will negotiate all this as a peacemaker, and he will make a way for Israel to actually be able to build the temple. But by the way, this is not the temple of Ezekiel in chapter 40 to 48. This temple that is going to be built and will be built will be desecrated by the Antichrist. We'll come to that. So the Jews are just waiting for permission to rebuild the temple. But Gabriel didn't tell Daniel what would happen between the 69th and the 70th week. Gabriel doesn't speak about that to Daniel. Between Daniel 9 verse 26 and 27, there is a strange bracket, a strange parenthesis. Why? Because this prophecy of Daniel had to do with the Jews, the Jewish temple and the city of Jerusalem. Daniel 9, 24, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. But the period of time between the 69th and the 70th week has to do with the church, the body of Christ. And that was a mystery which was hidden in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament times, you search the whole of the Old Testament, you won't find church. That was a mystery, hidden. And it is not until the time of Christ and the apostles, specifically the apostle Paul, where this mystery is revealed. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 1 to 13, please go back and read. And I read to Ephesians 3 verse 6. This mystery is that the Gentiles, this mystery is the mystery of the church. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body. And this is exactly why Paul was persecuted, because he put the Gentiles who were saved through faith in Christ and the Jews at the same level. And because he did that, they wanted to kill him. And that's exactly what the church is all about. You and I, in Christ, neither male nor female, neither Jew nor Gentile, we're one in Christ. Ephesians 3 verse 6, this mystery that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, that's the church, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Now, it is not unusual in Old Testament prophecy, you know, to find these parentheses. It's not unusual. It is not unusual in Old Testament prophecy for the writer to move his outlook to the end times without warning. Look at Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Immediately after that, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Right? So, after that word given, you move from the birth of the Messiah to his reign, to his kingly reign. And when does that happen? Much, much later. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 2. Move suddenly from the gracious ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, suddenly to the day of vengeance. And if you remember, Jesus takes the scroll of Isaiah and reads it in the synagogue in Nazareth. And in Luke chapter 4 verse 19, Jesus quotes Isaiah chapter 61 verse 2, but he stops at the year of the Lord's favor. He doesn't speak about the day of vengeance. Luke chapter 4 verse 19. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Full stop. Because he hasn't come for vengeance. He hasn't come to judge. That'll be later. That'll be in the second coming. He doesn't speak about the day of vengeance, because in his first coming, he came to save, not judge. Judgment happens at his second coming. Zechariah chapter 9 verse 9. Another prophecy. Predicts the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem. But you read verse 10, it moves ahead into the final victory of Christ and his reign of peace. Daniel was not told that the rejection and death of the Messiah would bring about a new body, a new thing, a new creation, a spiritual body, the church. He was not told. He was not told that that body would include Jews and Gentiles, and in which all natural differences would be unimportant. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 11 to 22. Galatians chapter 3 verses 22 to 29. The mystery of the church was hidden in the Old Testament. One reason the Jewish legalists opposed Paul, and I said that earlier, was because he put Jews and Gentiles on the same level in the church, and the traditionalists, They wanted to maintain the superiority of the Jews. Now, some of the prophecy of Daniel chapter 9 verses 24 to 27 have already been fulfilled, and the rest will be fulfilled in the end times. Today, we are living in the age of the church, when Israel has been partially blinded, temporarily set aside. I use the word temporarily. It's very important. Partially blinded, temporarily set aside. We see this in Romans chapter 9, right up to Romans chapter 11. Like Paul, what must we do? We must have a heart and a concern for these Jewish people. We must pray for them and seek to share the gospel with them as much as you can. Gentile believers, we have a debt to the people of Israel. Romans chapter 15, verses 24 to 27. They were the ones who gave us the knowledge of the true and the living God. They gave us the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, the scriptures. It came through them. They gave us the Savior. Jesus, our Lord, is Jew. He was a Jew. The logical place for this 7-year period is after the rapture of the church. This is also called the time of Jacob's trouble. And it's not there in your notes. I've not put it on the screen. Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 7. I read to you from the New King James Version. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. So it's called the time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period. It will be 7 years long. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 1 to 12 indicates that the Antichrist cannot be revealed until the restrainer is taken out of the midst. And that restrainer is the Holy Spirit in the church. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Once the church is out of the world, then Satan can produce his masterpiece, the Antichrist. But please don't think that once the church is raptured, the Holy Spirit disappears from the earth. That's wrong teaching. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity, and he is God, and he is omnipresent. He's present everywhere. The time becomes ripe for his restraining influence to cease so that the Antichrist reveals himself and the judgments of God during the tribulation come upon the earth. The Antichrist will make this agreement for 7 years. But what will happen? After 3.5 years, in the midst of the week, he will break that agreement. He will then move into the Jewish temple, which is going to be built, and he will proclaim that he is God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 3 to 4, Revelation chapter 13 verses 1 to 18. The Antichrist will cause a living statue of himself to be put into the temple, and his associate, who is his associate? His Man Friday, all right, that's the false prophet. The false prophet will cause the whole earth to worship this image. Now remember, Satan has always wanted to be worshipped. And in the middle of the tribulation, he will actually begin to receive worship. Remember Matthew chapter 4 verses 8 to 11 where the devil wanted Christ to worship him. Jesus called this statue the abomination of desolation. Daniel chapter 9 verse 27, Matthew 24 verse 15. Now, an interesting parenthesis occurs at the end of Matthew 24 verse 15. And it is, in the ESV it is actually put in brackets. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Let the reader understand. Now this statement indicates that what Jesus was teaching would have great significance for the people reading the Gospel of Matthew. By the way, once the church is raptured, don't think that the gospel will disappear. The Bible will still be there. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And with all the messages that are there on YouTube, the legacy that's been left behind, the gospel will still be proclaimed. So what will happen? This statement in Matthew 24 verse 15 is very significant for people reading the gospel of Matthew in the latter days. By reading the prophet Daniel and the words of Jesus, these believers will understand the events and they will know what to do. And this is another evidence that the first part of the Olivet Discourse applies to people during the tribulation period. Now, prophetic scholars have speculated. They have speculated as to why the Antichrist would break the covenant with the Jews after 3.5 years. Why would the Antichrist break the covenant with the Jews after 3.5 years? It has been suggested that the invasion of Israel by Russia, and by the way, that's the next target for Russia. Remember, Israel is surrounded by enemy nations. Turkey, Iran are all targeting Israel. Russia has its eye on the loot that is there in Israel. All right, it has been suggested that the invasion of Israel by Russia, and that is a prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 38, 39, and that you must read. That will occur at that point. Certainly, Israel will be at ease and dwelling in safety at that time because she will be protected by the Antichrist. You read Ezekiel 38, verse 11, you will see that. At that time, he will be the ruler of a 10-nation alliance, which today is going to become, and already I think become, the United States of Europe. Revelation chapter 17 verses 12 to 13. And Russia, of course, will be soundly beaten, not by Israel. By the way, Israel does not have the weaponry to fight Russia. Impossible. Impossible. And so, how will Israel win? Russia will be soundly beaten, not by Israel, but by Almighty God. The God of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He knows when to act. And he will act. Now, when the Antichrist sees that his great enemy, Russia, has been beaten, what will happen? He will take advantage of the opportunity and he will move into Israel, breaking his covenant, and then he'll take over the temple and he'll want to be worshipped. And the readers of this prophecy in the latter days, they will know what to do. What should they do? Get out of Judea. These instructions are similar to those given in Luke chapter 21 verse 20. But remember, as I said earlier, that's a different period of time. Luke's instructions apply to the siege of Jerusalem in AD 70. And the sign there was the gathering of the armies around the city, which Jesus speaks about. Matthew's instructions here in Matthew 24 apply to Jewish believers in the middle of the tribulation. And the sign is the desecration of the temple. The Antichrist will desecrate the temple. Those who have confused these two sign events, they've ended up believing that Jesus Christ returned in AD 70. Now this entire paragraph relates only to Jews. For no Christian believer would worry about breaking a Sabbath law. The Jews would. Not believers in Christ. Matthew 24 speaks about the Sabbath. This event ushers in the great tribulation. The last half of Daniel's 70th week. When the judgments of God will be hurled on the earth. During the first 3.5 years of tribulation, the judgments were natural. And we saw that. They were natural judgments. Wars, famines, earthquakes, etc. But during the last half, the second half of the tribulation, the last 3.5 years, the judgments will be supernatural and they will be devastating. And during this period, God will care for his elect. Matthew 24 verse 22. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now who are the elect? The elect are the tribulation saints, not the church. Those who come to faith in Christ during the tribulation. So during this period, God will care for his elect, referring to the Jews and the Gentiles who believe and are converted. And the elect here does not refer to the church, because the church will have been raptured at least 3.5 years previously. Studying prophecy is not for excitement, not for, head knowledge. No. Not at all. Studying prophecy is so that you and I can live the life that God wants us to live while we are here on earth. A life that will bring glory and honor to God. A life that knows for sure what is going to happen. And therefore, a life that is secure in the nail-pierced hands of Jesus, doing the will of God and proclaiming the glorious gospel wherever God places. Now, the kingdom being manifested through his children, wherever God places us, so that we will be his witnesses for his glory. That's the whole purpose of the study of prophecy. Matthew 25 verse 13. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. So it's so important for us to be watchful, to be ready. What an assurance the believer has. Make sure you have that assurance. Make sure you are in Christ. Make sure you are in Christ. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. It is so important for us to be watchful, to be ready, because Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. The Bible closes by saying in Revelation 22 verses 20 and 21, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer.